Thanks for leading us in time of worship. Appreciate the way you seek to apply the Lord's word, and that's what we are encouraged to do. Well, just a little bit more about the outing. Where are we going? We are going, first of all, to Clifford Pier, which is the Fullerton Bay Hotel. So that's there's a lot of history there that we want to appreciate. And then we're going to try and go to a lighthouse that is above the old post office building. If we can access the place, we will attempt to do so. If not, we will just admire it from the front. And then we are going for a boat ride. Okay, don't get too excited. We're going to try and go on a boat ride along the it's a river cruise, and we're going to get our foremost experts, Ming Lee and Hong Shen, to tell us about the architecture concerning the buildings along the river. Whoa! You got no choice now, you have to do it. And so we are going to have an exciting time, hopefully, and we will all be safe. Okay? So do sign up with your discussion group members, your leaders, and we hope to carry all that out in time. Okay, and then, of course, we will end up with dinner. Okay? That is something that we can look forward to. Okay, we come to the last YG meeting of the year. Next week will be a combined meeting, but I hope that our study of the book of Philippians have been wonderful. We will finish Philippians 3 today. Yay. And we will start next year, Philippians 4, and we will finish Philippians next year. Now, even as we bring chapter 3 to a close, and I hope that, frankly, Philippians 3 is one of my favorite chapters in the scriptures. It is so full of wonderful, rich truths, and especially the testimony of Paul, how he sought to live his life, that he's seeking to press on. No matter what he has been through, no matter what he has achieved, whether there are failures, whether there are successes, and he had his own fair share of failures and successes. But yet at the same time, he's saying all those things are in the past now, they are considered as loss. He wants to move on. He wants to strive towards, he wants to press on, move forward to the upward call of God. And I hope that that has been a challenge for all of us here, that we would seek to continue to grow, to continue to deepen our faith and strive towards the call that the Lord has given to us. Okay? And it takes maturity, it takes examples, and this afternoon we want to come to a conclusion, and we're going to look at something that is maybe not for us, especially when we have so many things that are so earthly bound in that sense, to think of a sphere that maybe we are not as conscious of. And that is the sphere of heaven, the sphere of the spiritual realm, the sphere of the kingdom of God. So let's look at verse 20, and it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Now, this word, citizenship, is actually not the first time that we're reading about it. Let's turn to chapter 1, verse 27. And it says there, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." That is the same word that is being used here, right? And it's where you get the word politics, right? So, polituma, okay? And you're looking at this idea of citizenship. So, idea of conduct, idea of being citizens, right? So, Philippi is a Roman colony. You have those who are Romans, and they are meant to be citizens under Roman rule. Okay? So, you need to have the appropriate conduct, you need to behave in a certain way, because you are under Roman rule. In the same way, when we talk about our citizenship, now, I'm a patriot. I love Singapore. You go to other countries, no matter how good or bad the country is, you always think of coming back to Singapore, right? So, Fabian, you went on a honeymoon, and you went all the way to Melbourne. You had a good time? Yeah, definitely you must have a good time, right? Yeah. Where's Jean? Okay. You know, you had a good time. Doesn't matter where the place is, right? It's the person that counts. Right? And but you always want to come back. You know what? This is Singapore. It's nothing like Singapore. With, you know, and especially when we go to India, this week the Indian Brethren, they celebrated their 29th anniversary. And we couldn't go there because there have been some changes in concerning visas and so on and so forth. But each time when we go there and we see what India is like, you know, I always come back to Singapore. I really appreciate what Singapore is like. Because when you go there, the traffic is interesting. You have lots of cars, you know, honking along. And when you come back to Singapore, you hardly hear anybody honking along. And, you know, it's very peaceful, it's very nice, and you just really appreciate Singapore for what it is. So, and you know, I love Singapore, I love everything about Singapore. And because this is my country, this is my home, this is my... Yeah, right, don't you feel the same way? I mean, National Day, wow, you will die for your country, and... Right? Because we are citizens. We are citizens in Singapore. Right? Now, that is an interesting word that is not translated in the English. Is this word, hupako, right? And this word basically means exist. Okay? Your citizenship exists in heaven. Right? While we love Singapore and we love being here, right? But in reality, in spiritual reality, our true citizenship really exists in heaven. So we got to think heaven. We have to be conscious of heaven, that we are conducting ourselves in a context of heaven, and that we are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. So it goes beyond the physical to the spiritual realm. Right? But yet at the same time, in reality, how many of us really think about heaven? Right, Fabian, when was the last time you thought about heaven? Hardly, right? Right? Until you got married, then you... No. And really, we don't think beyond... We don't think beyond... True. We don't think of heaven beyond a certain level. Because we are so caught up with the things of the earth. True? Where is heaven in our thoughts? Where is the context of heaven, the sphere of heaven? We are meant to be citizens of heaven. Our citizenship exists in heaven. So no matter where I am in India, I'm thinking I'm a citizen of Singapore. If I go to a nice place like Austria, beautiful place, you know, and beautiful mountains, interesting cities, and so on. In fact, our Prime Minister is there, right? And he is visiting there, Vienna, and so on and so forth. But you know, no matter where you go, you always think, I'm a Singaporean. I'm not going to throw rubbish on the floor. Because if I do that, I'm no longer a Singaporean. Well, not true. But we are taught, right? You cannot throw things on the floor because you'll get fined. Somehow you are brought up that way, and even if you're in another country, you feel, you know what? That's how I am. So you always will always think that you are Singaporean. There's no time you go there and you say, you know, oh, I'm an Austrian now. I'm a Australian now. Right, did you go over to Australia and then you say, oh, now I'm Australian because I'm in Australia. No, right. For no, you always think that I'm Singaporean. True? And if our citizenship is meant to be in heaven, how come we are not thinking that we are citizens of heaven? See, so what Paul is trying to do is that as you look at all these things, what it culminates to in chapter 3 is really, are we citizens of heaven? You know, the reality of heaven is something that we read about quite a bit, right? Even the Old Testament, people like Abraham, you know, in Hebrews 11, let's turn to Hebrews 11. They look for a different country. Long, long time ago, we studied Hebrews, right? Still remember? And Hebrews 11, verse 13, and it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. You know, the greater perspective, as much as we are Singaporeans, but the greater perspective is that we are actually strangers. We are actually pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they are called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. See, what is our ultimate homeland for Abraham, for Sarah, for Isaac, and so on and so forth? The greater perspective is that they are going to their homeland. And that is not on this earth. And sometimes we are so abound that we ask ourselves, you know, what is our citizenship like? What is our perspective? For Abraham and Isaac, that's why they lived in tents. They didn't have a permanent place called home. They lived in tents because ultimately it is significant of how they see their lives on this earth. It's only temporal. They are looking ahead to a greater perspective, which is heaven. That is their homeland, right? And yet we are so caught up with the physical. This week it was announced that a lot of development in Sentosa and so on and so forth. Sounds exciting. Singapore is developing by leaps and bounds, you know. We are, the shipyard is... you know, they're moved and they're going to change that whole area. They're reclaiming land and so on and so forth. So it's exciting, right? Orchard Road, they're going to do a makeover. Okay? But yet at the same time, this is just the physical. Can we not look beyond the physical? The Lord Jesus, he talked about the kingdom of God. Right? The kingdom of heaven is this. Many times, he introduced the kingdom of heaven. He taught about it. He taught about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. See, we are never meant to look at things from a physical standpoint. It's always been about the spiritual realm. It is always about going beyond this earth to a greater reality of heaven. And if we are so abound and we don't take time to even think about heavenly things, about looking above, then maybe we have not understood what it means truly to be a citizen of heaven. Right? Let's turn to Acts 19. In Acts 19, verse 8, and this is Paul's perspective, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Are we thinking about the things concerning the kingdom of God? You know, it's so important for us to have that kind of focus. Our focus is not on this earth. Our focus is about heaven. It is really about heaven. And for Paul, he conducted himself as a citizen of heaven. You look at what chapter 3 is all about. Is really about his conduct and how he sees life on this earth and how he's going to go beyond this life, and his focus is heaven. I am a citizen of heaven. Paul is a Roman citizen, and yet he goes beyond that to being a citizen of heaven. Okay? Now let's review a little bit. Let's go back to Philippians 3. And what is it? How does he conduct himself? In verse 1, he talks, "My brethren, rejoice in the Lord." You know, as a citizen of heaven, there should be joy. We really should have joy in our lives. Right? So this morning, some of them were cleaning up. You know, we learn to clean with joy. Right? Verse 8. "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Right? We learn to count all things as lost. We are holding on so much to the things of this world. You know, somebody responded to what I wrote in Grace Works this week about being called and to deny ourselves, to take up the cross, and to follow the Lord. And she was asking this question through email. And how do you really look at this idea of denying? If you have read it, you would have understood how, I mean, we talked about this. That this is an aorist tense, okay, an aorist imperative, deny. So when the Lord says deny, it is meant to be a one-off thing. That means if you really learn to deny, all it needs is to make that decision to deny, it is considered done. Same with taking up the cross. It is an aorist imperative. And then, yet at the same time, when you talk about following me, following Christ, is a present imperative. That means it's a continuous thing that you need to do here. So she was asking this question, how can I learn to deny and then to take up the cross? And yet at the same time, there were certain things that she was struggling with. And I kind of reversed it for her. I said, why is it so difficult to deny? And the reason is because we are really holding on. We find it very hard to deny because whatever it is has become our treasure. And we are holding on so tightly to these things that even if you say, I've learned to deny, even if you say that I've denied this aspect of my life, but in reality, deep down within your heart, it is still a treasure. You're still holding on to it. And that becomes a problem, you see. Because we can't count it as loss. We can't see these things as rubbish. We can't let go. For Paul, he learned, you know what? All these things. Even it took many years for me to achieve this fame, status as a Jew. You know what? All these things is counted as loss. Why? Because this is not what it means for me to be a citizen of heaven. If I'm so abound to the things of this world and I cannot say, you know what, this is loss, and we still hold on to these things. And that's why it's so difficult to take up the cross. That's why it's so difficult to move on. Because deep down within our hearts, we're still holding on to these things. We're still treasuring these things. And we find it so hard to let go. But as a citizen, we must count them as loss. We must learn that it is about growing in knowledge for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, that I may know him. We learn what it means to press on. We learn to walk by the same rule with the same mind. That's what it means to be a citizen of heaven. Right? But yet at the same time, in reality, we find it so hard because we are so caught up with all these things. Can we learn to be a citizen of heaven? Can we conduct ourselves as citizens of heaven? Right? Okay? Now, let's look at verse 20. Now, and then he goes on to say, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So on one hand, there is the reality of heaven. On the other hand, there is the reality of Christ's return. Another thing that we are not very conscious of. See, as a citizen of heaven, these things are important. In fact, they are, you know, a focus that you consistently have. That you look forward to Christ returning. See, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will come from heaven and he will be with us. Now, there's a very interesting word, eagerly wait. It is made out of actually three words. Apo, which is from, ek, is out of, and dekomai, which is to welcome. Okay? So it is to be able to, that out of, you welcome, and, you know, it's really to be able to have this overwhelming sense of eagerness as you wait, because you're looking forward. You know, so recently my wife was away. She went all the way to the other part of the world, which is Argentina. Took her, you know, close to 30 hours to get there. It's very far, you know, and yet, I mean, amazing thing, you have WhatsApp and so on and so forth, so you can keep in contact and so on and so forth. I mean, I was concerned because Argentina, South America, don't know what's happening there. and whether she'll be safe, and so on and so forth. So, of course, I was concerned, praying for her. And she was there for 5 days, and then soon she was saying, you know what, I was coming back. And, you know, in my own heart, I was glad. I was glad that she was coming back, and I was glad that when finally she arrived back and I saw her, you know, I was full of joy. Yeah. I mean, staying at home all alone, I mean, I'm fine with that. It's not a problem. But, you know, somehow, there's always a greater sense of joy when you have someone around. Right. And, right, Fabian?
Yes.
Okay. You just got married, so better say yes. You know, so you look forward. That is that reality, you see. But then when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, somehow we are not as excited. There's no sense of eagerness beyond a certain level. We talk about it. We are conscious of it once in a while. But, you know, there is no sense of overwhelming eagerness waiting for Christ's return. You know, then, again, this is something. You see, these are realities that we are not conscious of, we are not focused upon. You know, it's just not real to us. Heaven is not as real as, you know, as it should be. Christ's return is not as real as it should be. We are so preoccupied with life on this earth. Maybe it is something for us to rethink, right? Because this is our Lord Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is Christ. He is the Messiah. Wow. And He's coming again. Think about that. We should have every reason to be eagerly waiting for Him. Verse 21, he says, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. I mean, this is wonderful. Now, there's a very interesting word here, the word transform. Okay? The word transform is made up of two words, meta, which is after, with, okay? And then you have the word, where you get the English word, scheme. Schematizo. Right? And you put them together, it becomes the idea of transformation. There's a whole transformation of the scheme of things. So you have a certain form now, but in time, that whole form will change completely. All right? That you may be conformed. So you are transformed, and then you are conform. Now, the word conform, you have the word sumophos. And what that means is that there is a morphing. You know, there's a change of form. In fact, you morph with. You conform to. And this is His glorious body. See, when Christ rose from the dead, He was given this glorious body. He is the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn of the resurrection. One day, we too will have that glorious body. And to me, that is exciting. Really exciting. Because when you look at our own physical body, there is pain, there is, you know, difficulties, there's disease, there's suffering, and so on. Right? Every time you look at yourself in a mirror and you ask yourself, what's happening? You know, and hair is dropping. You know, you look at the sink and then you see all the hair and you have this sinking feeling. You know, you ask yourself, what's happening? Right? Don't you feel that way? I feel that way. And And we, you know, we all tend to rely, oh, I look so great, you know, and things like that. I can tell you this, sooner or later, things will fall apart. Really. And things don't work as well. You know, about a year back, I went to play basketball with the student pastors. In fact, I think about a year plus, you know, we went next door and we started, and I've not played basketball for ages. And then, you know, I thought, wow, I can shoot the basket and things like that, shoot the ball into the basket. Not shoot the basket, but shoot the ball into the basket. And, you know, it was fine for a while. Then things began to give way. And finally, things did give way. And I had this shoulder injury that I'd been harboring for like a year. And until I had to go for physiotherapy, thank God for Teresa and for her help. And, you know, in the end, well, finally, I got my full strength back after one whole year of physio. And see, so what's that? After a while, you're no longer as strong, you're no longer able to do certain things. You know, I'm really looking forward to this glorious body. I don't know about you, you're still young and still think you're young and hope that you're young and... You know, and I can tell you this, with every year, your birthday, and you realize that, wow, things are not going too well, right? You know, you look forward. You look forward to, you know, what God has designed for us. Ultimately, you see, when God saves us, He's not just saving our soul. He's saving our whole being, which actually includes the physical. And one day there is full salvation where He will even give us salvation in the context of the physical body, which is this glorious body. Right? And wow, this is really exciting. This is the resurrected body, and we truly want to be able to look forward. There's no more weakness in any way. Okay? Verse 21, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Wow. Right? According to what? To the working by which He is able. This is what the Lord will do for us, and that He will subdue all things to Himself. This reminds us of chapter 2, right? Where He will bring about subjection of everyone, everybody, every living thing, every spirit, right? Verse 10, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. This is the ultimate perspective. And, right? So I hope that you will take time, even as you go to your groups for one last time as YAG, to think about things that maybe we have not thought about all that much beyond a certain level. And yet Paul sees this as a consciousness, as a focus in his life, that he is a citizen. We are all citizens of heaven. And that's how he would seek to conduct himself. So the perspective of heaven, the perspective of the return of the Lord, and the perspective of having this transformation, of having this glorious body. You know, this is something that we all will have to think about and to consider as citizens of heaven. Okay? You know, so even as we bring this chapter 3 and Philippians to a close for this year, I hope that you would really look back and see all these lessons, all these things that we have sought to learn and to apply into our lives. Really sums up in this idea of, are we citizens of heaven? Are we conscious of being a citizen of heaven? And that's something for you to think about, right? As you go to your groups, let's learn. Let's learn to encourage each other. How do we conduct ourselves as citizens of heaven? As citizens of heaven, we will think about heaven. We will think of what it means to be in heaven and being part of the kingdom of God. As citizens of heaven, we will look forward to the return of Christ, because that is the reality that we want to be able to be conscious of. Right? Okay, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you for this whole year that we can study your word and learning rich lessons from the book of Philippians. We pray, Lord, that you will help us even as we bring these months of learning to a close. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to seriously consider what it means for us to be a citizen of heaven, to be part of the kingdom of God, to be conscious of conducting ourselves as citizens, not of this earth, not of this country, but of heaven. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to think heavenly thoughts, to think about the Lord's return, about Christ's return one day. May it truly be soon. We pray, Lord, that you will be with us even as we fellowship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's go to our groups before we have a bit of time of fellowship together.